insomnia, beginning with baskets, the moon. Who is naked? The imagination, wrote Lorca, is seared. This is a homage to water, beginning and end. I didn't translate Lorca's Poet in New York, but since I'm a poet from New York to begin with, you know, and maybe at some point to end with, although I now live in San Diego, California, I went back to translated poems of Lorca, and this, the Lorca Variations 33, second New York poem, and it begins with a couple of lines from Lorca in Spanish. El mascarón, mirad el mascarón, como viene del África a New York. The mask, look at the mask, behold the mask, how it comes from Africa to New York. It's in four parts, and each one begins with a phrase or a line from Lorca. So one, title, they are gone, the pepper trees. Half of it was sand, and what remained was mercury, and made him tremble, too afraid to rub it in while visioning a hippopotamus who stalked through everlastings, and other animals who crossed those endless bridges, whom he could bring down with a spear, their beaks grown dormant, their flesh nailed onto trees from which he used to cut his masks, would wear his masks around New York, half crazy, wasn't he, the bright gazelle mask flashing where he walked, what joy to be among you at this gathering, he thought, to spend this time with you. Here, where the wheat rots, swans rut, camels plod among the peppers, in the mask that shows you fear, the mask dissolving into sand like solitude and ashes, where the light has died away so recently. The cat is playing with a cork, and all things come into this other light, the phosphorus ignites over New York, where death's a crocodile, and sunlight makes the world grow darker, where a sword cuts through my throat, my feet, where silence covers everything, where eyes turn white, where time turns inside out like valleys rife with mutilated buds in Africa, inviting us to join their dance of death. Title is Canyons of Lime Imprisoned. A fond farewell at the border. See the dead and how they hunker down, who bring us hurricanes, those naked masks, those shameless tumulters who tempt us with strange lights. Horses will ride past, slender mounts for children, edging their way through niches, squeezing into bank vaults, Wall Street, poor and empty, roofs on which manometers break into pieces, and the channels they leave behind excite the iris, yes, and voices cut across New York, and someone wears a mask that looks like North America, and someone else comes up, counts up the unemployed whose numbers brought together in a frozen dance. Oh, Lorca, dark in the sky. These herds are what we all will become. Their frenzy will be ours tomorrow. Oh, my naked heart, we watch the Sphinx together, squatting inside this cemetery, she with a bank director's mask and you a Chinaman's, your profile soon identical except that you still sing your deep song while the sky fills up with down and fireflies grow faint and then invisible. Time hides inside you. Can you feel it? Does it press against your mask? Whose groans are rising in this place? Whose blood is on our blueprints even now? Is there a formula to chart the impetus we feel, a yellow thread to recollect it? when I dance, the naked wife says, it is no less for money when I give you tail, you fade in me and die. The stillness overtakes you, sky is split asunder, lime and mire splatter on the snow. The night makes even gold turn black for us who wait here at our windows, watch old columns lit by flames, the impetus returning like a wheel that spins forever in an empty bank vault. See it with your own eyes. Hear it cross this space in silence. Watch her naked body in your mirrors. Feel the sap press upward as if moving among mountains. Guano everywhere to drown in guano, living buried in its canyons. Third poem. Title, I was on the terrace wrestling with the moon. Below us, men in iron masks who rob a bank lie buried in a landscape with the dead, fear dripping from them, seeds of light under our windows, where those who pass us groan like swarms of cattle, press against store windows that reflect the sky first, then the blood that spurts up when you bite an apple sweetly, sweetly, when the dancers mass around us, others dressed like shepherds crying silver tears, cold earthworms standing on street corners in the dawn near where the young girl rises from the flames, still others whom you wouldn't know cut off her hands with broken shells, the tiny drops igniting in the air, smear yolks between her thighs and beat the moon with oars as I do wrestling on this ancient terrace. Watch me, whose eyes blaze in the night like stars, who gaze down Broadway like a prairie, I who offer up a mollusk for the dead, slam virulent guitars against my thighs, who wait with Lorca on a fire escape, a pyramid behind us to welcome our forgotten king and pope. Four. Title. Don't let the pope dance, someone cries. Don't let the Pope dance, someone cries. El mascarón, mirad, el mascarón. It's Lorca crying. Lorca coughing poison over Wall Street, dreaming of a courtyard covered with blue mosses, of sodomites in masks, cathedrals where frail millionaires adore a king, where dancers drift around like madmen, scorched by scarlet fevers, stung by nettles. And it's Lorca perched atop his pyramid. It's Lorca smuggling rifles through the forest. Lorca in the mask of anguish trapped in vines. Or Lorca in the stock exchange, the floor collapsing under him. It's Lorca in a mask with emeralds for teeth. A mask to charm the Pope back to New York, to wear in jungles, to stare out of on terraces. A mask with cobras that the builders have forsaken, the Pope has jammed over his own, not dancing, no, but turning blue, cries out with Lorca for the mask. It's Lorca's mask. We wear it together now. El mascarón, he cries to us. The mask, the mask. I may come back to some Lorca variations as fillers between the longer poems. Paradise of Poets starts out with a poem called at Tsukiji Market, Tokyo. The Tokyo Fish Market, extraordinary place, a stadium of a fish market. Seven times larger than the second largest fish market in the world, the market in Paris, where we were taken a few years ago, early morning, very early morning, by a young actor who, like other actors in Tokyo, makes his living at night when the theaters are closed, running a flatbed, motorized flatbed car, through the market and the array of fish there. So that was one part of it. At that time, too, in 1996, we went to Kobe with a friend, the great Japanese novelist Oda Makoto, who had lived within the earthquake area in Nishinomiya, and saw the devastation there. And at the same time, I was reading an old book from the 13th century called Hojoki by Japanese writer, poet, priest named Chomei about an earthquake that struck Kyoto in those years. So part of this is a series like the Lorca poems of variations on Chomei's Hojoki. At Tsukiji Market, Tokyo, October 19, 1996, for Kato-kun. Three parts. Fish and styrofoam and plastic wrappings where we watched great tuna bodies, white still under frost, on carts that pass us by here in this market without smells, a place for noble death, for fish death. We can view it from our chariot, this flatbed moving forward, curving in a dream, small fishes packed in rows, a giant clam like a vagina, a razor-beaked sayori, red dot at its tip, the kime showing God's large eye, he said, or under lamplight, gills still moving, fish blood seeping out, the blood of white fish with what stolen beauty, orange fins and tails of poison fugu, nearby eels in vats of blood and water, and the dark sores splitting flesh and bone, the severed tuna heads, their mouths still open, black fish wrapped in ice, a red slash underneath its head, eye wide and dry, a cavity that cuts down deep that lets the hand move in and out to draw out lungs and guts, shrimps wriggling, sad survivors in the sawdust, insects of the sea, my mind aswim with these, with mouths that open in the blood they float through, miles of searching filaments like flags for death, a paradise of bubbles fast ascending, tiny eggs and sperm, each one a seedbed for 100 cannons, breaking into life, the cry of food and sex so strong there is no wrapper can contain it, but it fills the air, and from my mouth it issues like the dead, the voices of our fathers calling, plowed back in the earth without regrets, reminding us how gorgeous death is, blood of fishes staining the white flesh, red flowers and round open eyes. Two, the tale, the story. He walks among the others, animals and neighbors. In the land of islands, someone comes to meet him tall and with an eye that cuts through space, immaculate. The man cries out and falls. His death comes when it does by force of nature. In this way, we feel the earth shake till it draws the light around us, lungs and guts emptied. When the shock breaks through the crust, a block of houses rises from the sea and burrows down. Its people lie beneath a wall of boulders, stones a god shakes free. They see the fish swept into a stranger's net. The corridors are white and lined with fish blood. Death is always sudden, always comes after the fatal blow. A mallet cracks the fish skull. They blast a hole into the fish's maw. The messengers who spoke a broken language also now stare through broken eyes. We walk among the shelters and the empty lots, awash in Tsukiji, where the boards cry out with fish death. Continue with the work he hands you to provoke and probe. A life disrupted is no less a life. Those who are sleeping when the floats drove by continued sleeping. Those who were awake were faster, like fathers running in and out of dreams. The Prince of Tides has written this for you, the land of islands. Three, for Makoto Oda. A great quake shook the earth, the old poem has it. thinking how our legs have lost their balance, books and ladders tumbling down, a dream of fish death, where the bathers in their terror move like fish. The man who has an old world in his mind sees it return to him, the year behind him lost in sleep, a rush of water dims his eyes, the words rewoven to the present day. Hojoki, Chomei Atoyama, 1212 A.D., Kobe, 1995-96. Months passed, and people spoke about the quake no longer, but a skull would sometimes turn up in the earth, heavy with water, and the aftershocks now were inside us, carried with us day by day, the earthquake hidden underneath the ground, our houses like our ashes swept away. This is how a capital can disappear, or boats be swallowed by the earth, covered by mountains, a city with dead houses, someone thinks. How long will they be standing? Until the wild boars dig up, clog up all your streets, until the mountain cleaves in two. Days grow darker, world knows what its equal is, an earthquake spewing havoc all around us. When the elements light up, the days go white with aftershocks and black with clouds. Houses slip into the earth, consumed as dust, like that stirred up by horses racing through a valley where land gives way and blights them, trapped in the event. But when they speak the language of the gods, no words come out. Therefore, the masks they use are hinged to make a show of speech. No one is free of it. No heart escapes its vanities, but all their things record the years that pass, the way the wind shadows their months, all times abandoned to its ceaseless shaking, like a dragon moving up and down, like thunderbolts that strike them dead, like smoke that covers a pagoda, waves that break on rocks, seas burying the earth. A fish under the light, a message brought out of the shadows, thin and claw tearing at your throat, periphery pursuing, torn to shreds. How many years before it ends? How dark the sin, how raw the talk that ends it. How cruel the Buddha who resides here, who abides catastrophes and fires, aftershocks of quakes that pass us by, events that raise us on their wings, then let us crash. Pale billows swelling up around the little temples, the little shorelines underwater, rivers driven skyward in one final quake. Forgotten with the dead, in glory, massive bodies hidden under frost, the words recorded of a man beside himself who speaks, who says, be here, pretend, so like the world they are, so like the man himself. The water underneath his window, still a haven for lost birds, uncertain thoughts, uncertain passage through a foreign world. The Lorca Variations 15, this is just to make a passage between poems. Water jets. One, if death once had a face, the water from this water jet has wiped it out. The August air has left no trace of it, like other fountains or other faces from your hometown that the sunlight and the water jet dry from your room. Things leave our eyes, no boundaries here, other than dreams, no dreams still precious to your heart, its carved interior shot through with corners, into which a grapevine grows, fed by the water jet your fingers once turned on, made it a place of clouds, the perfect death's head still inside it, and that a water jet wipes out. Two, it's night. In the garden our hearts have turned blue. A maid opens the water jet, lets water and roses spill out. A century passes, pianos circle the earth, dark swords slice arteries. No dust on your windows, just blood in the garden. Four gay caballeros trade swords, A cloud breaks apart and starts quaking. It's night. Books. In 1997, my wife and I spent 4 months in Paris. Part of the time there, much of the time there, I was translating the collected poetry and plays of Pablo Picasso. And that threw me into a circumstance of, which Paris does anyway, of thinking back into past times in Paris. Paris, it seemed to me, is a kind of cemetery city. Some of us, me, who never go to cemeteries otherwise, even to the graves of my parents, in Paris become cemetery searchers. The poem indicates that it's set to or written to a piece called Three Voices for Joan LaBarbera by Morton Feldman, with text by Frank O'Hara, my great American contemporary, Frank O'Hara, turns up in this. It's because I was listening to Joan LaBarbera sing his words to music by Morton Feldman, and given to me by the American jazz musician Steve Lacy, who has for many years lived in Paris. And it was also the beginning of hard economic times in Paris, strange things, moving among well-dressed and people asking for money and bread lines and soup kitchens in the public squares. So that was part of the reality too. Before Paris, we had been up in the Pyrenees, and for a very brief time, we're stuck in a gondola, up in a 1,000-foot drop in the Pyrenees, and it was a wonderful, terrifying, sudden impression of emptiness. Three Paris elegies. Into my own dark Sunday, light approaches like the moon through feathers. That's no sooner seen than sunk by blindness and the thought that everyone is dead around the city that's about to vanish as it has before. Sucked down an empty pocket oversized and with a smell of earth. The bright adventurers of 1910 whose streets these were, sharing a common grave with those who followed, reaching even to the place where you and I are waiting with the friends who drop out one by one like cyber monkeys flying into mindless space. Two. Above a gorge we hung and swayed. The mountains were alive to every side, stone witnesses. The air was still with only a distant puff of wind. We sat suspended by an iron wire, voiceless. No one to talk to in the world but you and me. That revelation, I think I prize its emptiness the most. So even now, arrived in Paris, I sit alone and feel it bursting from my chest, electric, final rush of footsteps down an empty street. Three. Why does a well-dressed man come up to me and ask me for a handout? This is a dream, I think. It can't be real. Why does a smiling mother dressed for church reach out a hand to touch me, shadows all around her sitting on the ground? Why does she ask for help? And why do I keep walking past her where there is no street or sun, even in Paris on this hottest day in summer? What is the sound that comes at us around a corner, sound of a wave suspended in the air, of hives of bees, of hands applauding in the dark? Who is the man who wears a flower in his ear, a shirt with many folds, a vest, a beard, the buttons glowing like electric sparks? looks. The more I search his features, I can see his lips are gone, his tongue is heavy, hanging to one side and forming words that never reach me, that the darkness covers. All the people on his street sit flat against a wall, some open-eyed, some sunk in a deep sleep. All are dressed up. The men wear business suits and blazers, a cardigan, a double-breasted jacket, a tuxedo, tie and tails, but have no coats or hats. Their shoes are simple, always a dark brown or black, with marks of sand from garden walks in Paris, laces open, sometimes without socks. And the women well-dressed too, although the hair of one is hanging limply with another's, there are open spots that show her skull, a third one has the traces of a beard, a large wet stain under one armpit. Just look at them, and they begin to talk. The way that birds talk, feathers that the wind is blowing swirl across the square. We sit in paradise and pass a ball between us, papers at our feet. Then when it's time to leave, we walk around a corner, climb the little flight of stairs, and hear them following. The rush of music from a distant time, a woman's voice becoming regular, the words emerging, low and high, relentless openings, processions. And it's Picasso in the lead, a little man with hairy shoulders. He is stripped down to his running shorts like Frank O'Hara. Both of them now stars for Mineola Prep. Both now declare their love of evil. With Apollinaire here, too, his head no bigger than a thumbnail flanked by Gertrude Stein, eyes like a crazy doll's, and someone looking like my father, Max Jacob, wrapped in a monk's brown cloak down which his body disappears. Here in a world where there are only little people, phantoms, where the sky is not a sky, the earth is shrinking daily under silver plastic, disappearing, slipping through my hands like balls in a pachinko parlor, eyes revolving like red lights. To end here in La République with all the other dead, the hungry ghosts under our windows, a soup kitchen for the dead, the ones who run, the ones who squat now on the grass. They speak our frailty, the doom built into life, decomposition, chaos, anarchy, confusion, worse confounded, helter, skelter, squalor, out of whack and out of order, out of kilter, out of money, out of time and out of place and out of breath and out of work and out of hope and out of power. Because the men who come to us, though dead, are just like us and stare at us like fallen princes. We welcome you to death, they say, their looks dividing us in two. The numbers dance again behind our eyes. The circles break. The man holding a clock up to his ear will count the silence. Every day is summer. What was once alive is gone. And what has yet to be alive is also gone. The Lorca Variations 28 for Turtles. 1. Up there, or down here, for that matter, the screams rush around us. Ellipses dismember the Tower of Babel, crapulent city, and enraged zigzag women still sit in with feathers on porticos, men with pale foreheads shout poems from its rooftops, crushing its grasses, city that's buried in words like Cyprus and daylight, up there and down here. 2. My heart is flying from me. See it fly and rising in a spiral like a star, a spiral rising past the cape obliquely like a neon heart, celestial turtle set before the Pope until the turtle and the star drop back to earth to test the limits of a heart the way that hunger tests the soul or feet, whatever life is left us, a heart, a soul, and many turtles where the heart transforms the body like some pluvial Sahara and the turtles blot out the horizon, leaving turtle shells and wings behind unto our final rest. Keep reaching over. for the this is in part a rhyming poem with many thanks for yours. And it begins with a rhyme. A couple of years ago, dear friend Jackson McClough was celebrating his 75th birthday. I don't know if you all know McClough's work, you know, or not. You know, great. You know, our greatest experimental poet. And he has just miraculously won from the Academy of American Poets the Dorothea Tanning Prize Award of $100,000. There is a God. Well, there isn't either. One of Jackson's great series of poems, which one of the things that first turned me on to his work, a series called The Light Poems. And so for his birthday, I wrote a first night poem, and perhaps me, a last night poem, first night poem for Jackson McClough. And that, of course, set up a rhyming situation, which you will notice is part of the accidental genius of the English language, that in rhyme brings those words together. Already a couple of people have tried translating this, but they can't. You can't without footnotes, because as far as I know, no other Indo-European language I know rhymes night and light. So rhyme comes into this. Also a number of things for those of you who do read Technicians of the Sacred are drawn in, appropriated from there. There's reference to another poet and artist, great poet, great visual artist, Kurt Schwitters. I had done a selected writings of Kurt Schwitters some years ago, and Jackson had done a series of computer and chance derived poems called In Memoriam, Kurt Schwitters. So we have the love of Schwitters in common. And Schwitters, who in the Second World War was forced to leave Germany, went into exile, in Norway and then in England, and for a while gave up the German language and switched into English. It's for Jackson. First night poem for Jackson McClough, variations and collage. Where McClough walks, someone stops a clock. The hands are set at 23. In the rush of air beneath his table, toes are beating out a symphony. A man is sitting on a chair inside a classroom with black windows. The sun is cold against the man's cheek. Fingers on a keyboard send a message to the king of thumbs. The message to McClough is further coded. Aiming to reciprocate, I offer a black sun. The sense of night rests in my mind, a pall of thought above the silent river. See it running through a false partition in the heart. I want to wear a top hat and to dance with what's her name. A bunch of keys is what I give you. In the black night, no one sleeps as light as you, O camarado. Dreaming of it, reaching through the gauze, the entry to the sable night is such an opening. It finds the dark-eyed night alive and counts the moon a stranger. No one will leave my table, but we will sit around until the mother comes with lesser portions. Kurt Schwitters can arrive at midnight, seated in the central road, a shade beneath our nightlight. Wrapped in a cowl, the night is hanging, moaning. It is called a cowled night, not a night the pointer nudges, but a phantom presence in the hush of night. Is it then Europe's night that hides him, England's night raids that create a noonday night? A long electric night, a gala night that turns into an empty night. an unseen night, a night to feel and touch? Is it a night that breaks the glamour of a lost midsummer's night, a night that ends in death? The voice of Schwitters calls me in the darkness, rising like a cry of witness through the great primeval night. Dark wheels and axles, dark dentist drills, dark locomotives, a ticking clock, a meat grinder, barbed wire fences, dark shoes and wigs and ice skates, dark squads of people on a stage lit by a darkness visible as light. A night of shining darkness, of darkness giving birth, plump swollen creatures in the night, a night of dark red turtles being born, of horn-billed turtles, pregnant with small lobsters, sharp-nosed creatures, fat ones swollen in the night, where time stands still for us inside the poem, and only there the poem becomes a night poem and gives back the night. A flower like a raven, Schwitters cries. He names a night bird. In love with incandescence, Schwitters finds a clock and sets it right. He and McLow are changing places, swallowing a dog, a cat, a rooster. Both are now waking up. The clockwork world is pressing on their pupils. An old alarm clock's hanging from a scarecrow's neck. It spells out love gone mad, a night of mystifying flowers, night of surprises. Kurt and Jackson, two old hoofers dancing. The world applauds their act. The nightclub swoons. Caught in a ring of dancers, they trade pronouns as the night runs on. Night rhymes with womb and slaughter in another language. Music as sure as light and bright. A night train rumbles into Oslo. Kurt rhymes with Jackson. Poem rhymes with face and light. A line of poets rhymes along the lines of sight. I walk into a hall beside my father where the walls sing silent night. Kurt tells the story of his Norwegian flight. We raise ourselves by inches as if we were learning to recite. To constrain is thrilling. To explain is erudite. We barter words with Kurt and Jackson in a garden of delight. And here begins another night poem uniting light and night. Part two, night walk variations from nouns that appear non-syntactically in Jackson's poem, Night Walk. Night walk variations. So cold, a woman might stop walking, and a man, his meaning stripped from him, might hide his learning, touching gently, hearing how their fingers scrape against her sweater, how they rub against his cheeks. It is in memory he sees her that in its dimness brings him peace, the sky down almost to his fingers, slipping through them. Like his memory of 2 o'clock, a memory of utter darkness, lost friends beside him in that water. So why this half-light when it's only 2 o'clock, he thinks, and why those twigs that cut him where he walks, and why the meaning stripped from him, like hair that falls away, revealing only air, a single tree, a quiet feeling when he bites his lip. This is what comes to us from resting, and this from freezing, and from standing solitary, freezing once again, or finding teeth too long forsaken, finding some and seeking others, until the hills wear down from silence, standing apart. Three. The first time I heard your light poems, Jackson, I was overcome with awe. That means to say that there are times the mind hears what can alert the mind, can open it to something in the world known but unspoken, and leave it trembling at the sound and sight. Light was the voice of day for us, and life, while night, its rhyming partner, signaled sleep and death. That was repeated in 1,000 places we both knew. And it was also given to us that dreams which came with sleep were an entry to a still deeper life. Sleep rhymed with deep. But you were ready to call the first collection of your works Awaken, which was a sign of light and day, except that when I spoke it in that other tongue, it rhymed with night. So Milton told us not to follow rhyme, as Blake did too, and still we followed to our dying day. Those are our contraries, you'd think, the poles we need to make existence seem complete, like light, like chance and choice, another pair that the work will bring together. That's when the light will be as lovely and alarming as the night, and the night will be the time of new awakenings. Until then, I thank you for the rhyme that even now the time affords us, and the hope to be together in that darkness, Cage had once written, fumbling around if necessary, bumping into things, adding to this disorder that characterizes living but alive. How are we on time, Michael? A choice. Chance or choice? Jackson, old friend Jackson. So when I speak to him, in the poem, I speak to him. It's the first time I heard your poems, Jackson. And very lovely those few occasions when I had a chance to speak the poem directly to Jackson rather than sending it by email. To speak it directly. So that was. That was different. I'll read some new poems. I was just going to do a chanted poem, but I'll read some new poems from a collection of books not yet titled. I set out. I had in mind that a lot of talk about. This is, I think, the silly side of poetry talk about, first-person pronouns and, whether one uses them or what doesn't, I decided I would do a poem overusing the first-person pronoun. I realized in doing it the way I was doing it that not every time that one uses, as a poet, the first-person pronoun, is one speaking in the first person, lyrical voice, and all of that, but it's a chance to explore what it is to be a first person, what it is to be an I. And for the moment, I've attached to it from the Mexican shamaness curandera, Maria Sabina, a quotation. I can't go into this in much detail, but she uses this psilocybin mushrooms to bring on vision, but primarily she says very lucidly to bring on language, to bring on the language that I would think of as poetry. Language belongs to the what she calls the saint children, the little ones or the saint children. They speak, and I have the power to translate. I had set out to, because it's a nice number, to write 50 poems in the series, and I'm now up to 55. So I'll just read a few of them. Each poem has a number and a subtitle. One, the case for memory. I was amok and fearless, twice deceived, for which I sought out satisfactions in a tree. Too carelessly I reached for love, and beaten down I found you in a froth of frenzy, spent my days around the panyards. I would ask no help from those whose trust is weak, but I would buy the latest and the least. I live for something practical, the case for memory. I set one foot into the space the others leave abandoned, not your lord or slave. I meet you in an equal clash of wills and face you down. I only touch the ground on Sundays. Two, the burning house. It was always dark. The red hole's wetness threatened the lost sheep. Sharp exchanges were not clearly heard. Rivers did not flow. You did not defend your brother. We ascend toward progress. I scratch fire and remove it from your throat. I run out of distant shadows now that no one tries to stop the passage from a city that is drowning. You must dodge the summer fire to free your soul. You cannot stand back of the burning house from which strangers emerge like wolves to run you down. 3. Where God is light. The lost in hell among the rat-faced killers. I am with them, standing at the tunnel's mouth, the water underneath. I see the figures floating, raised in air, then pitched into the vortex. Here, where God is light, a brown globe hangs above a burning hell. Eyes turn right. Hieronymus, my namesake, let me lift this picture from your hands. I cherish walking in your circles. Do you think the light is wet? Forget it, little father, and go home. Return the keys to management. When someone asks if you believe in God, turn cautious. There are now angels everywhere. Never look back. 4. I have paid the price and lost. God of the universe, manque, you issue from my mouth. I watch you dying, muscles like flowers gather at your throat. You shake a wrist at me, your watch band comes apart and freezes. I can see you with a babe propped on your lap, or else a lamb, old man with blisters working against time. You plunge a knife into my book, the babe limp as a doll, tilts forward, gagging. A man in chains sucks on a woman's breast, feet walk without a body. I have paid the price and lost. And you, have you watched them play the game of tribute? And have you failed to pay and won? 5. There is a map inside my pocket. I look for lights under my fingers. I will take them and will make foolish minds wise. Then when I flick my half-closed eyes, your mouth will open wide and I will sail by with my flags. You will applaud me when I scratch for cash under your windows. I who am geared to tear down what you build, your houses like your ashes swept away. I search the sky for you. It rains. The wind too warm for Sunday sears my eyes. There is a map inside my pocket. I can't read. All day I try to call you. Where the bus stop, people walk by like the dead. I knew your house was there down by the corner, a house without a bell, without a way to find your way around it. 14. Make in their long sleep. Is that enough to please us? I am moved to say it, moved too that Blackburn died so young and Armand now. I am waiting for everyone to die. For this the just man spews but holds his ground, his strength too distant to return, his hands two pools of sweat. He must resemble someone I saw walking backwards once and up a flight of stairs, a tray of food in gentle balance, letting go and hurtling to his death among the thorns. 15, more than stars. You did it, made me cry in hemorrhage. You were on my mind. I ran to you and bones broke. I, who was finger mad, now learn to live ungloved. Unglued, I sucked the wind into my glottis. I could be split in two, not whole. The rage emptied my scrotum and I sagged. You signaled from the car ahead of me. The screen lit up with buttons that were more than stars. An egg escaped. It could have happened all at once, but I was ready. I embraced a cat and spattered. How I do love to touch that ancient keyboard, wet from sleep. None of you asked my name, and I kept silent, balanced on a dime. I would delude them all by dialing backward. The time is near, I told them. Nobody living will escape. 16. A cruel nirvana. Half dead is still alive, and half alive is too. So keep it rolling, I declare. The others mingle in a room atop the city where a fire burns. They sing, I sing among them. Then I push my way through with my thumbs. I eke a living from a stone. Hard knocks are bound to follow. I can hear a water song close by my ear and track it where it leads me. It is summer, but the trees are dead. They vanish with our fallen friends. The eye in torment brings them down. Each mind a little world, a cruel nirvana. 49. A town called Meter. There is a town called Meter, north of Spain. In it the dead still live, and I have seen them, who am hungrier than them, not angrier. I stand among them with my forged credentials, calling on the rest to follow suit. A bunch of drifters rubs against me, men with iron spoons gouging my heart. I stumble after them into a town square sunk below sea level, hard and dry. A gay parade files past me, inching up the steps. I stop a while, my feet in broken flight over the stones. The night flows from my eye, the day holds back. I learn to mimic birds caught in the brambles. I have a stark vocabulary, letting my heart keep time, my throat in rapture, crying out to you, the mask, in perfect rhythm. 50. I can't say who I am, and the title and the first line come from Amiri Baraka. I can't say who I am, but go for it, and speak as if I knew it. Time is half the story, so is death. I run from shadows to avoid old people maddened by God. I follow animals whose eyes at night mirror my face. Seeing myself asleep, I touch my arm. I celebrate new forms of sex. I am frantic, knowing that nobody has a way out or a face more marked than mine. I was not born live. The case for memory grows weaker day by day. The more I know myself, the less I am. I hold on to a name because it suits me, but the voice behind it never was my own. The last one I'll read is number 51 as we go beyond 50. It's called I Come Into the New World, and it's dated January 1st, 2000. And although I don't believe in, you know, we all know that, you know, that these change of numbers don't mean anything. You know, nevertheless, you know, in California, on a sunny day, January 1st, because it's sunny then in California, you know, I stepped out, you know, into the street in the morning, you know, and I said to myself, you know, knowing pedantically that I was wrong, you know, here we are in the 21st century. You know, in the 21st century, you know, I might as well have said, yeah, here we are in the 25th century, and there's Buck Rogers. If yeah. So it seemed very strange, and this is a poem called, you know, I come into the new world with, you know, with memories of what the future wasn't. I come into the new world. Voices are dumb until I speak for them. Knowing the sound, I find myself between two fires. One is dark green, one the color of my mind asleep. I come into the new world where the thought of death no longer rankles. It will be good to be a stranger always, to know the terms by which we visit back and forth and sideways. In the morning, I will wear a suit with shoulders big as boards. My clothes are silver plastic. When I step into the car, it starts to fly. I play games with children where I make a nose into an ear. Like a clock, my heart moves closer to the burning babe and stays there. I will now count the century by ones and twos. This morning, all the voices in my dream spoke with one voice. I feel privileged to be here among you. From now on, we will live on borrowed time. Thank you.
Okay, we have a request from the audience for a piece from Technicians of the Sacred, and here it is.
If I was reading from the new Technicians of the Sacred, maybe I'll just do that because it's something that, you know, it's the one poem, you know, that you know, that doesn't make sense on any sense on the page for most people. A composition derived from Navajo way of constructing a song and, you know, and moving words around in it, and you know, though it's what I call a total translation, it goes back to those sources. Though the music, when I do it, you know, is you know, as you will hear, you know, not Navajo. You know, it derives from a series of horse blessing songs. Connected with the Hatali medicine man, Frank Mitchell. This is the 13th of 17 songs, and what's going on is that enemy slayer, killer of enemies, has been sent by his mother, the earth goddess, changing woman, to the house of his father, the sun god. He's been given spirit horses, the germs of horses, seeds of horses. And he dreams how, he sings how beautiful they'll be when they turn into real horses. So the refrain is, some are lovely.
Gone. Some are lovely now, but some are, and art my house now. One and one, my wing, some are lovely now, but some are, and art my hound now. One, my wing, some are lovely now, but some are, and art my house now. None, my wing, but my wing now, because I wasn't gone, I was the boy inside the dawn with summer at my house now, one and one, my wing, and by going from the house, the boy shall ho and know with summer at my how and now, my wing, and by going from the swollen hogan house, my breath is blown with summer at my house and one, my wing, and by going from the house, the lowly hogan gnome in summer at my house, and when my wing, and from the blaze of jewels we walk, not gone, but on, but summer at my how and now, when my wing with breast digs that are white and cone, but summer at my house, and one mying wing with my feathers that are white and gone, but summer at my house, and one mying wing with my spirit horses that are white and gone, but summer at my house, and one mying wing with my spirit horses that are white and dawn gone, but summer at my house, and one mying wing with my spirit horses that are white shell now, and summer at my house, and one mying wing with those own horses that are white shell now, but the summer at my house now, one mying wing and jewels of every kind to go and draw them on not, but summer at my own now, and one mying wing with a sheep of every kind to draw them on not, but summer at my house, and one mying wing with horses of every kind to go and draw them on not, but summer at my own now, and one mying wing with cattle of every kind to go. Draw them on, not but some are at my own one buying wing with men of every kind to go. And draw them on, not but some are at my house one buying wing in my house of precious jewels in my back. Room and conward, but summer at my own noun when buying wing in this house of precious jewels we walk. Pond and conward, but summer at my own noun when buying wing and everything that's gone before more we walk. But pond with summer at my own noun when buying wing and everything that's more won't be poor summer at my house and one buying wing and everything that's now and living to be old and blessed now but summer at my how and now and one buying wing because I am the boy who blesses to be old and summer at my house and one buying wing summer lovely now and but summer and art my own house and one buying wing summer lovely now and but summer and art my house and one buying wing summer lovely now and but summer and art my house is none by none wing, but now known by wing.
Thank you.